CW. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to SAS first half 2020 earnings conference. In the first half of 2020, COVID-19 was the main headwinds for us, especially for our solar business. The impact to solar business was much tougher than our semiconductor silicon wafer business. Supply chain disruptions and quarantine policies imposed by many countries in the world caused delays in solar installations in many countries. The damage magnitude for long term so far is still unclear. Contrary, our semiconductor business, GWC, overall performance, both revenue-wise and profitability-wise in the first half 2020 was much more stable than solar. Its Q1 performance this year was better than Q4 last year, and Q2 this year was better than Q1. CW later on will provide more details of GWC first half 2020 performance in his presentation slides as well shortly. In the first half 2020, SAS consolidated performance actually is good. In 2019, SAS had a big write-off, which was for a solar polysilicon long-term supply agreement. And this year, no more write-off and overall operation performance was very good. So SAS first half 2020 revenue reached 30.3 billion NT dollar with a very good EPS, which was as high as 4.96 per share, which is much higher than the EPS of the entire 2019. We are very happy for this EPS performance in such a difficult time. Regarding to our dividend policy, GWC will pay its 2019 dividend today, 25 NT per share. This payout ratio is over 79% for GWC. Total dividend amount will be over 10.88 billion NT dollar. SAS dividend will be paid out next Friday or August 14th. It will be 5 NT per share, totaled 2.9 billion NT. The payout ratio for SAS 2019 is as high as 130%. This is very high, 130% payout. That means that we pay the dividend to our shareholder much higher than the dividend, the EPS we made last year. So starting from this year, both SAS and GWC will pay dividend once every half year to smooth out income stream for our shareholders. Next topic I would like to cover is our outlook for the second half this year. In Taiwan, with the incentives from government policies and favorable solar irradiance, the proportion of renewable energy in power generation is increasing year by year. According to Bureau of Energy in Taiwan, Taiwan will reach its accumulated installed photovoltaic power capacity to 6.5 gigawatt by end of 2020 this year. In addition to Taiwan, some countries have policies and stimulate packages to revive the solar industry as well. The market is expected to be slowly recovering post COVID-19. Moreover, thanks to international RE100 program or Renewable Energy 100% program, more and more leading corporations are enlarging its sustainable energy portion and same emphasis are applied throughout their supply chains. So in summary, there are still quite some uncertainties in the second half of this year, but for long term, the demand for renewable energy will keep growing, the scale will keep increasing, more and more technologies will be brought to the industry, solar industry, to increase renewable energy's efficiency and also affordability. Next, I would like to talk a little bit about the strategic move SAS just announced yesterday, acquiring 22.53% stocks of AWSC by participating in their private placement and becoming their, by far, largest shareholder. AWSC or Advanced Wireless Semiconductor Corp is a 6-inch gallium arsenide foundry established in 1998 in Taiwan. Their key technologies and products are HBT, power amplifier, VCSEL, and a lot of microwave IC, microwave devices. We believe 5G, RF, and many wireless applications will be one of the fastest growing categories in the next couple of decades in semiconductor industry. These applications use compound wafers such as gallium arsenide, gallium nitride, silicon carbide, etc. Compound wafer is one of the most highlighted focus for GWC now. AWSC's very timely technical feedback to GWC will shorten GWC's overall compound wafer quality and technology improvement learning curve. On the other hand, SAS investment to AWSC will enable AWSC to expedite their expansion schedule and also to enlarge their scale in the next 5 years. This strategic move is a win-win for both parties. Last but not the least, let me very briefly highlight some points about GlobalWafers. 90% of SAS consolidated revenue in the first half 2020 was from GlobalWafers semiconductor revenue. And robust demand for work from home and medical electronics make GWC's second quarter performance much better than the first quarter. Nevertheless, the logistic challenges, including long lead time and super high freight, resulted from COVID-19 outbreak and the subsequent restriction measures offset partially profits. Fortunately, the situation is normalized now. Starting from June, the overall logistics situation has been normalized gradually. In general, for GlobalWafers, both 12-inch and 8-inch utilization is quite stable and very healthy. GWC overall cash flow is as healthy as before. As of end of June 2020, GWC possesses over $1 billion NT dollar cash. That's all I would like to share with all the analysts today. CW later on will elaborate more details shortly. Thank you again for your time. CW, please.
Thanks, Doris. Let me continue the presentation. Please turn to page 5, company group structure. This is SAS group company structure. SAS now is a diversified business group consisting of solar, semiconductor, sapphire, as well as a strategic business like specialty gas, semiconductor business, etc. Besides Astro, we newly add a company into organization chart on right side. As Doris mentioned earlier, this company called AWSC, a 150mm gun arsenic foundry house. I will explain it in next slide. On page 6 is ASMC company introduction. Capital is US$65 million, mainly provide 150mm GaN arsenic foundry service. Product cover HBT for power amplifier, EDPM for SW low noise amplifier, VCSEL for 3D sensing, etc. The strengths from this partnership are the cost-effective and the reliable mainstream manufacturing process technology, broad technologies and extensive experience in wireless and optoelectronics applications. Expertise in PHEM could apply in GaN nitride technology as well. And the synergy will be collaboration in developing GaN nitride to quickly supply 5G, electric vehicles and other high frequency and high power products. Construct a competitive compound semiconductor industry chain in Taiwan. And to expand operation scale and improve operation performance. In the meantime, downstream customer feedback received from AWSC also favorable for GWC to fine-tune upstream substrate development. On page 7 and page 8 are silicon carbide and the GaN nitride market information. These two compound materials leverage many important advantages over traditional silicon technology, conveniently exploited to fabricate ultra-performance power device. Also will play a crucial role in the future of electronics owing to its potential in boosting power handling capability with better efficiency, especially suitable for high frequency and high power application. On page 9 is the silicon carbide and the GaN nitride power semiconductor market forecast will rise to US$854 million by the end of 2020 and pass US$1 billion in 2021, and to increase at a double-digit annual rate to US$5 billion by 2029. Energized by demand from hybrid and electric vehicle power supplies and PV inverters. On next page, page 10, it shows revenue trend. As you can see, our revenue from global wafer semiconductor business contributed to 90% to SAS revenue in first half 2020. Given semiconductor business is relatively stable than solar business, semiconductor share increased a lot from 57% in 2014 to 90% this year. Next is industry overview. Please refer page 12 to page 18. On page 12 and 13, these two slides show solar PV market will slowly recover post-COVID-19 year 2024. All of this, China and Asia Pacific will continue to dominate global solar demand. Government supports in solar industry as part of COVID-19 economic stimulus package can be already seen around the world. Solar global market will increase 34% to 150 gigawatt in 2021 YOY. Anticipated significant governmental recovery support, but still 6% short on the previous forecast, and expecting reach to 200 gigawatt in 2024. The year fully left virus impacts behind. On page 14, you can see Apple's clean energy program with the supplier commitments, which targeting will generate or produce at least 4 gigawatt clean energy in supply chain in 2020. As of April 2019, Apple already have commitments far exceeding their goal. On page 15, based on update TSMC CSR report, TSMC emphasized they are the world's first semiconductor company to join RE100, committed to 100% renewable energy by 2050. Up to July this year, TSMC signed renewable energy purchase agreement to 1.2 gigawatt capacity and set its goal to 25% target in 2030. On page 16, this page shows the government stimulus package to boost solar post COVID-19. Malaysia provides a new tender for 1 gigawatt utility scale solar capacity to be built in Peninsula. Switzerland expansion solar PV system this year with 46 million Swiss franc, which equal to $48.5 million. European Commission announced the COVID-19 rescue fund of 2021 to 2027 with 1,074.3 billion euro, equal to $1,211.8 billion. 30% will be applied to natural resources and the environment. Japan also provide almost $1 billion to support corporate PPS power purchase agreement to facilitate. On page 17, Taiwan government actively promotes PV development. The plan is to install 20 gigawatt by 2025, aiming to produce and generate 20% of its electricity from renewable sources. The chart on left side shows solar general power weight total generation power 1.4% in May 2019, and they increased to 2.3% in April 2020. The right side indicates actual collected data 10 minutes in summer noontime. Solar power comprises more than 5% of Taiwan total generation, and it is likely to become normal. Page 18 is the top 20 market solar PV additions from 2020 to 2024 worldwide. Based on the right side data, Taiwan solar PV market is expected to reach 31% CAGR growth from 2020 to 2024. Now let's move to 2020 first half financial result. Please turn to page 20. As you can see, SAA's financial structure is healthy with promising future via reinvestment on strategic business and the onerous write-off on polysilicon LTA last year. On second quarter 2020, net income attributed to parent companies NT$1.5 billion, the second best high record. On first half 2020, net income attributed to the parent companies NT$2.9 billion, which is the best ever record. Gross profit and the operating profit and EPS are the second best as well. On page 21, this page shows first half 20 versus second half 19 last year comparison. Although revenue reduced 3%, but EBITDA, EBIT, net profit, EPS, ROE and ROA are showing growth. Page 22 is the second quarter 2020 versus first quarter 2020 result. Except the revenue reduced 2%, all other items indicate growth increased from 1.5% to 14%. Page 23 is first half 20 and the first half 19 comparison. Only revenue shows negative growth, all other items show positive growth. First half 2020 EPS reached to NT$4.96, which is improved NT$0.34 compared with the second half last year. Page 24 is the revenue trend since 2013. In 2017, the revenue grew a lot because of the acquisition of Scientist and Semiconductor on December 2nd. 2016, and we keep growing on the foundation. Page 25 shows the gross margin trend. First quarter 2020 is 33.1% and the increase to 35.2% in second quarter 2020. 2019 is 29.4% and the increase to 34.1% in the first half this year. Page 26 to 28 are the operating profit, net profit, EPS trend. All results show positive growth QOQ or YOY. First half 2020 EPS result NT$4.96 as mentioned is quite promising performance in the industry. On page 29 is the dividend distribution versus net income. SS Board of Directors approved to distribute dividend every 6 months to share its stable growth with shareholders as an appreciation for their constant support. And this is beneficial for their reinvestment and flexible use of funds. Page 30 is the dividend payout versus EPS since 2013. The payout includes distribution from earnings and the distribution from capital surplus. You could know that even in the year 2016, when EPS was negative, SAS distributed from capital surplus to return shareholders. In a few years, dividends were even higher than EPS. The notably high payout ratio is one of SAS features to appreciate shareholders' support. 2019 dividend will be paid on August 14th next week. Page 31 to 32 are brief income statement and balance sheet. Skip this. Page 34 to 38 are ESG highlights. SASN has been at the forefront of global responsibility in the aspects of environment, health and safety and corporate governance. On page 34, SAS achieved to use recycled water 50% in 2019. Total water withdrawal quantity reduced from 1,312 cubic kilometer in 2017 to 502 cubic kilometer in 2019. On page 35, on left side chart, you can see SAS accumulated installation for grid connected capacity reached to 112 megawatt in 2019. Total CO2 emission reduced 50,000 tons in 2020. On right side graph is the electricity needed for generating $100 million. It also shows a reducing trend. Page 36 is waste management. The usage is reducing and the reuse ratio increasing yearly. Page 37 are the ethical business practice, including legal compliance with the local requirements and the international standard. Formula guideline which calls of ethical conduct establish risk assessment periodically, set up a grievance system, etc. All perform well and improve it. Page 38 are diversity and inclusion. SAS committed to supporting gender equality globally. Women in our workforce is 24% overall and 10% on our board. Page 39 to 51 are GWC 2020 performance update, in which you will find a solid performance in first half 2020. Carrying out a strong stance in second quarter 2020, GWC's overall performance is pretty good. Net profit 24.8% hit all-time high. Revenue, EBITDA and EBIT all result 1.4% to 13% gross QOQ. Gross margin, operating profit, net profit result 2.1% to 3.5% gross QOQ. Second quarter 2020 EPS is NT$ 7.81 plus NT$ 1.19 QOQ. GWC has sufficient cash position with NT$ 32.1 billion on hand, as Doris mentioned earlier, equal to US$ 1.1 billion. Prepayment amount is NT$ 18.46 billion, equal to US$ 623 million. Above is my presentation for SAS first half 2020 financial result. Thank you. Next, I would like to hand over to Doris for Q&A session. Doris, please.
Thank you, CW.
Thank you, Doris and CW. Now let's begin the Q&A session. Why don't I kick off with two questions on my side? So number one, well, I think if you could elaborate a bit more on the potential synergies with AWSC. So I think I'm wondering the current customer base of GlobalWafers in the compound semis, how GlobalWafers and AWSC would collaborate on this field, and would this strategic investment limit GlobalWafers collaboration with the other customers?
Thank you very much for this question. This is very important, and I'm happy to have the opportunity to clarify. First of all, GWC has been developing compound material, silicon carbide and gallium nitride, from 7-8 years ago. So we've been working with a lot of European, American, and Japanese customers, and some Taiwanese customers as well. But up to now, we haven't had any business cooperation with AWSC yet, so we're not their supplier for compound material. This investment is made by SAS. So SAS invests AWSC. That's the way we work together. So GWC, also SAS is the major shareholder of GWC. So kind of like these two companies are in the same group. But there is no direct ownership between GWC and AWSC. So in the future, how these two companies are going to work together, I think the most meaningful way is that GWC will ship wafer, compound wafers to AWSC, same as GWC is doing with a lot of other strategic customers. But what can be better than the other customer is that we are expecting that AWSC will give us very timely and openly a lot of feedback to GWC, and their timely technical feedbacks will be very helpful for GWC to accelerate, shorten the learning curve, and also to improve the quality in a much shorter time. So that's from GWC's viewpoint, that's the benefit we're expecting from AWSC. And the benefit AWSC can expect from GWC is that they will be viewed by GWC as a strategic customer. So they will get the capacity same as all the other strategic customers. So GWC's position to AWSC is that AWSC is one of the strategic customers. So there's no special conflict with any of our other strategic customers. But on the other hand, AWSC can get the benefit from SAS as well. Because of this private placement, AWSC will receive around 3.5 billion NT. And that is a big money for AWSC to accelerate their future capacity expansion and also to open up their new project development. For example, so far they AWSC is focusing on getting ASNAC substrate process, but now with this cooperation they can accelerate pulling their schedule for getting nitride on silicon carbide as well. So SAS's investment make AWS enable AWSC to accelerate a lot of new project and also to expedite their expansion and also to increase the scale of their expansion. That's our view of the of this project, the synergy of this project. So we think that this is a very clear win-win for both parties.
Got it. Thank you very much for the comprehensive response. So a very quick follow-up. So wondering for GlobalWafers, how much of their revenue will compound semi contribute for second half of this year and 2021?
For now, actually, our compound revenue from compound is less than 1%. For GWC, and I don't expect that this will be over 1% in the second half this year. Also, even next year, you will be still slightly lower than 1%. It's increasing, but will be still lower than 1%. The reason is that the whole compound, especially for power device, the reliability test and qualification schedule takes time. We think that we will see some meaningful growth next year, but still the silicon portion is increasing as well. So it's very, it's not that easy. Our total revenue is somewhere around 1.9 billion US dollar a year, roughly, somewhere around 1.8, 1.9 billion US dollar a year. So 1% is also not a small amount of revenue. So I think it will the second half this year and also next year, I think it's still, I don't expect that silicon carbide revenue will be over 1% of GWC total revenue. But a very important point I would like to highlight is that I think GWC management team very we're very confident that from CAGR's viewpoint, in the next 5-10 years, compound wafer CAGR will be way higher than silicon wafers, ordinary silicon wafers CAGR. So that is definitely a very fast growing category because of the EV will be aggressively growing in the next several years, and also 5G and a lot of OBC onboard charging. Those are new now, very small now, but the next several years it will be everywhere in the world. So that's why we don't want to miss the opportunity to grow, to make any strategic involvement for compound industry.
Got it. Maybe another question also on compound semis. So since you do both silicon carbide and gallium arsenide, from your view, which one do you think are progressing much faster in terms of customer engagement or technology development?
Both of them are very promising, but I think that silicon carbide maybe will be faster than gallium nitride.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Operator, would you please open the system for Q&A?
Of course, yes. If you would like to ask a question today, please just key star then one on your telephone. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. Any questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. So if you would like to ask a question today, please key star then one on your telephone. No questions coming through at the moment. I will just give another reminder. It's star one to ask a question.
Well, while I give another few questions, and if there's any questions coming through, operator, just feel free to cut me off and we can take questions. So I think... maybe one question on the outlook going into second half. Obviously, GlobalWafers has guided for a stable outlook going into Q3 and Q4.
Yes.
So if possible, could you also give us some thoughts on your solar business going into back half of the year?
Yes, thank you, Sunny. I think semiconductor, overall semiconductor business visibility is a bit better than solar. Q2 this year, solar was badly affected by COVID-19 because of the motion control orders and a lot of control in many countries due to COVID-19. So Q2 was a very bad quarter for solar. We were expecting some good recovery from Q3. Actually, we did see some good recovery, good orders, good increase in June, and also July. We did see some recovery. Unfortunately, 2 weeks ago there was a big blast in China, the polysilicon explosion, a big explosion of one of the biggest polysilicon production line in China. And that accident caused a big price increase on polysilicon. The price increase in the last 2-3 weeks was as huge as over 30-40% for polysilicon. And then for mono wafer also is almost 20% or a bit more, higher than 2-3 weeks ago. So it's not only price sky high, price skyrocket, super high price. It's not only the price issue, but also supply issue. Because of that accident, now polysilicon supply is extremely tight in China. So it's very hard to get enough wafer supply for now. Nobody knows that how long this kind of situation will be lasting. Maybe it will be resolved. It will be normalized in 1 or 2 months. Maybe it will be a bit longer. Nobody knows. So we were expecting to have some business recovery for solar, but that polysilicon accident did made a lot of impact for solar. So that's Asian's situation. But on the other hand, in Germany, we do see very good business so far. In the past several months, and even right now, I think we see very stable demand in Germany. And you know that we have a module fab in Europe, in Germany, and that fab is doing pretty well as well. So far, looks like that Europe is still doing okay. But no matter what, the scale in Europe is much smaller than Asia. So Europe is doing okay, Asia is not. So it's very hard for us to share any outlook for the second half of this year. There are several factors very difficult for us to really judge how good, how bad the second half outlook will be. One factor is currency, foreign exchange currency, and the second is the shortage, the supply chain disruption, especially the polysilicon and mono wafer. So this is the second issue. And the third concern is that we just don't know that if COVID-19 will be over or will return. We don't know that if any reopen or relock up or reopen. So actually a lot of uncertainties out there. So it's hard for us to give any outlook. Visibility is not really good enough. Thank you. That's for short term, but for long term, as we presented earlier, we are very confident for the long term direction. I think renewable energy, increase the percentage of renewable energy, that is definitely the way the human being will do in the next several decades. And we believe that more and more leading companies like TSMC, Apple, Intel, more and more leading companies will announce will participate RE100 and to commit to consume 100% renewable energy. So we believe that we, as a renewable energy solution provider, we believe that this is definitely a right industry to be in. But short term, there are still a lot of unexpected factors. But for long run, this is definitely the right thing, the right industry. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you, Doris. Operator, do we have any questions?
No questions have come through.
No problem. So, another question from me. I think if we look at the demand, definitely the outlook for solar is quite positive. But another way that I think people consider is also on the competition side. So wonder, Doris, if you could give us any thoughts on how the competitive landscape is developing for the next few years. Is it improving or is it being more competitive?
You mean semiconductor, silicon wafer, this category section, right?
My question is more on the solar, but if you could talk about on the wafer side, I believe people would be quite interested as well.
Okay, so let me cover both. For solar, China still plays a very important role for the overall solar solution supply. More than 80% of the sales modules and polysilicons are from China. So far, we don't really see too much. We don't see too much different, too much newcomers because basic solar is not easy in the last several for now. So from the whole supply chain viewpoint, we don't see too many new competitors, newcomers for the components or the module system. But from power system, so our Volvotech power systems viewpoint, we do see more and more finance company or equity company are participating on the investment of renewable energy, renewable solar farms or windmill, renewable energy. So you can see that more and more investors are working on this. They either invest solar farms or they loan a lot of money to solar farms, or they work out a green fund to support solar farms. So let me put it this way, that from the whole manufacturing components production's viewpoint, not so many newcomers. China is still leading the whole supply chain. But from overall financing, funding viewpoint, I think it's a worldwide thing. Many countries are very aggressive for the renewable energy funding. And what one more point I would like to highlight, not only the competition, but also I think what's very interesting now is that we see more and more new technologies and new are implemented in solar systems, solar solutions. By doing so, I think people will see higher and higher efficiency, and the total dollar per watt will be will keep going lower and lower year by year. So that will make the whole solar system or solar renewable solutions much more affordable than before, than 20 years ago. So I think this is a big change for solar industry. That's our view. And I think in the next several years, we will see more technology like smart grid, and some special high efficiency storage way. All of these will be maybe potentially will be some new technology which make the whole solar industry much, much stronger than today. That's our view. And also let me cover a little bit about semiconductor competition. I think so far still for semiconductor, especially for advanced 12-inch products, still only top five companies in the world are able to supply high quality, high end wafers to foundries or IDMs. When I say high end, I mean that some below 20 nanometer process. And when we're talking about 10 nanometer, that's definitely much tougher. But we understand that for now, still top five wafer makers are dominating the technology, are working very hard for the technology and also to supply advanced wafers. But at the same time, a lot of newcomers in China are participating the whole 300 millimeter wafer supply. I know that because of a lot of market and geopolitical issue, a lot of this kind of pressure from different countries, some special restriction from China, from US to China, all of those political reasons, geopolitical issues caused a lot of newcomers in China from policies viewpoint, China government policies viewpoint, also for the industry supply chain securities viewpoint, a lot of newcomers out there. I don't think that within 1 or 2 years we will really see any newcomers strong enough to supply advanced product, advanced 12-inch wafers to the industry yet. But sooner or later, I think it takes maybe several more years, but I think gradually they will enter 40 nano, 28 nano, 22 nano. I think gradually there will be more newcomers for the semiconductor as well. That this is the same as all industry in the world. That's our view of semiconductor competition, potential competition in the next several years. Thank you very much, Sunny, for your questions.
We do have a question from the audience. The first question is coming from the line of Jennifer Liang from KGI. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hello, Doris.
Hi, Jennifer.
Can you give us some business and financial updates on the Taiwan Specialty Chemical Corporation?
Okay. Taiwan Specialty Chemical Corporation, TSC, this year, so far, their overall performance is doing not bad. Revenue-wise, much better than, I think by now, by July, I think their revenue already over the revenue of entire 2019's revenue. So TSC overall revenue, we are expecting to see some good growth of TSC's revenue this year. And because of the volume increase, of course, their overall profitability will be better than last year as well. As you know well, that TSC actually last year was loss-making, was in red, not in black. So, but this year, it's very likely that we will see some improvement on both top line and bottom line. That's our view, Jennifer. And also, I think one thing I would like to highlight for TSC is that this year, not only not only better revenue and better bottom line, but also that I'm very happy that TSC has some more new customers as well. They got qualified by some new customers, so that is very healthy for TSC as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to follow up on that. Yes. So do we have, can you share like what's the current market share of TSCs you have right now, and based on its capacity right now, what could be the potential market share?
You mean the market share of the disilane or that specific product?
Yeah, the disilane and the trisilane.
Yeah, trisilane, because trisilane is still very small now, so we don't really count trisilane. But disilane market cap right now is, I think, is worldwide market cap, market share, maybe somewhere around 20%, I think. It's not capacity constraint, it's because of qualification, because we're a newcomer. In many tier one companies been in the industry for much longer time, so their overall market share is much higher than TSC. We're lower than 20%, maybe somewhere around 15, but we didn't really calculate this one, so I think we are slightly higher than we are around 15%. Let me correct this number. And I think that our capacity, because you know our utilization is still very low, so we have very good opportunity to increase our worldwide market share. But it's still for us, we treat this as our confidential company info. So sorry that I cannot share too much details on this part for now.
Okay, no problem. And also, under what condition will you consider to increase your stakes in TSCC?
To increase what?
Your investments.
TSC. Our ownership is 30.93% right now. We are okay with this ownership. So far, we don't have any plan to increase the ownership there.
Okay. The next question, I don't know whether it's too sensitive, but if you can answer, is there an IPO plan for this company?
Yes, there was one. There was an IPO plan, but I think that I intentionally push out the schedule a little bit because SAS way is always that I want to see a very solid fundamental. You know, they have to see. I hope that we can see really positive growth and turn black, and also you have solid plan, get a lot of customers qualification, and you really getting healthier and healthier. Before you reach our internal KPIs, you are not allowed to go IPO. So that's our company policies. Before SAS joined TSC, they did have an IPO plan, but I asked them to revise that one. So for now, the IPO plan is the whole plan is put on hold. So we the whole management team follow all the IPO related regulations, but we don't really submit the document or anything for now. For us, for TSC, for now, the most important thing is to make okay profit and increase our market share and get more customers qualification. That's more important than IPO. So we don't have a real plan yet, but of course from the management team internally, I have some special schedule. It will not be 2021. It will be after 2021.
Okay, it's good to know. And can you tell us how many clients do TFC have and in a geographic breakdown?
They have right now slightly lower than 10 customers. So they have definitely more than one customer. They have somewhere around, I'm talking about mass production. You know, we are delivering every month. We have I think 7-8 customers right now continuous taking our shipments. Those are mass production customers, and all of these customers are in Asia, and we have some European customers and some American customers are under qualification but not mass production yet. So for now, mass production customers are 100% Asian customers.
Can you break down that within Asia?
Taiwan, China, these two are the top two. And we have a little bit Singapore and some other countries, but those are much smaller.
And Korea, not yet.
Yeah, Korean, not yet. Working on this now, but not yet, not mass production yet.
I have one last question. Given we are going to pay out dividends for the first half EPS in the first quarter of next year,
that's right.
Can you give the ballpark number, like what percentage we're looking at?
This is the first time we have the 6 months dividend. For us, this is the first time. So we haven't had any discussion with the board yet. So far, no consensus with the board yet. We need some time to communicate. And you know that SAS just had a new board this June. In June this year, we had we elect a new board, new audit committee, new board members this June. So we need a lot of communication with the board. So sorry that we don't have any plan for this now. We will finalize this number. Maybe I think in our next board meeting, which is November or early December, we will have more discussion, and then at that time we will announce the number. But not now. No number yet, and no range yet.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Doris.
Thank you, Jennifer, for your questions.
We do have another question. That's from the line of Dai Yo from Putnam Investment. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, Doris. Thank you for taking my call. I guess you just answered partially my question to Jennifer's question there over shareholder return. Just more broadly speaking, I'm thinking SAS has been paying out more than 90% of EPS in the last 5 years, sometimes more than 100%.
Yes.
I'm going forward under your chair leadership of the company. How should we think about investment versus payout? Like, I think 90% probably it will be a thing of the past. But think of like Global Wafers also paying out 80% or more of the EPS earnings. Will SAS payout be in that range in the long term speaking, or is it more like a growth investment first, more than 50% in investments and less in payout?
Mm.
I know it's probably late, so I'm trying to squeeze in another question.
Yeah.
Just can you clarify for us, and again, development, the substrate development, is GWC still doing R&D, or is GWC actually has sample substrates that can be qualified by customers?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your two questions. Let me start from the question two. Yes, GWC has already had revenue from gallium nitride and silicon carbide. So it's not in R&D stage only. We have, right now the status is that we have some small volume mass production, and meanwhile we have more samples under qualification, and also our R&D are working a lot of optimization and next generation development right now. So we have three key main streams in our production line. One is mass production, and another one is under qualification, and the third one is stabilization optimization of the production. So that's our that's to answer your question number two. And your question number one is very important. Basically, our policy is to stabilize our dividend. And this is company policy. And in the past so many years, our policy is always that try to keep the dividend payout high. That's our policy. But some years we paid even higher than 100% for some good reasons. For example, last year we paid out 130%, and 2 years ago we paid out 170%. The reason that some years our payout rate was that high, two reasons. One is that if that year we had some specific write-off, that means that those are non-cash write-off. So EPS-wise looks lower, but our cash flow-wise, actually we have enough cash flow for dividend payout. So then we make our payout, dividend payout, even higher than 100%. For example, last year, in June last year, we had a write-off, polysilicon LTA write-off. The write-off amount was as high as 4.3 billion NT. But actually, that 4.3 billion NT, that did eat up a lot of EPS, but that didn't eat up any cash. So cash-wise, we are okay. We are capable to pay more dividends. So that was why last year we paid out even higher than 100%. So there are three factors to decide. I mean, our principle is to keep high payout and keep the keep our dividend very stable. So this is our principle. But the every year when we calculate that what is the right number to pay out this year, we have three factors to check. One is just like what I explained, that do we have any one-off, that kind of write-off that specific year. This is checkpoint number one. And the second checkpoint is that what's our overall cash availability. If we have a huge, very meaningful investment that specific year, then maybe we will adjust the payout rate a little bit. So the second point is our cash availability. And the third third checkpoint is our stock price. So basically we want to keep our, if our stock price is high, then we will pay out higher as well, as long as that our cash is very reasonable. But if the stock price is extremely low, then we will factor in that specific point as well. So we have been doing like this from more than 10 years ago. So we follow, basically there will be no game rule change. So everything will be same as before. And all of those factors will be checked every year. So that we will follow what we've been doing in the past. Hope this is clear. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I think given the interest of time, let's wrap up here. So thank you all for joining the call, and thanks again to Doris and CW today. This marks the end of the call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Happy weekend.
Happy weekend.